Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Nagler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Happy Monday. Happy legal tampering period. Happy start of the ramp up to the new league year. The Packers certainly busy since last we jawed. Last spoke to you guys live on Friday afternoon, and whoa, daddy, some stuff has happened in the interim. From the Packers trading Colby Wooden for Zaire Franklin, to the Packers trading Rashawn Gary, to the Packers releasing Elgton Jenkins, a lot has gone on. Also including a re-signing of Sean Ryan to be their starting center in 2026. So much to talk about, a lot to dive into. I'm sure you guys have thoughts, feelings, what have you. Certainly the Packers starting to reshape the roster in advance of the start of the new league year on Wednesday. But we all know free agency started today and lots of moves being made around the league. Malik Willis signing with the Dolphins to become their starting quarterback. Absolutely love that for Malik and for the Dolphins. Going to see Malik as the starting quarterback for the Dolphins when the Dolphins come to Lambeau Field in 2026. Most importantly, from a Packers aspect, this should help in their pursuit of compensatory picks. Right now, as it stands, his contract probably nets the Packers a fourth rounder in 2027, though that could get up to a third round pick if he presumably starts and plays the entire year for Miami. There's a good chance that's going to be a third rounder for the Packers in 2027. In 2026, the Packers will receive a seventh round compensatory pick, the NFL announcing that just before I went live here. So the Packers have another draft pick to play with here in 2026. But of course, the big haul, as it were, when it comes to the comp picks should come in 2027. A few other moves that the Packers have made. They have re-signed Darian Kennard. That was announced, I believe, on the Pat McAfee show earlier this afternoon to a one-year deal, just over $3 million. That's a sneaky good signing to keep the jumbo O-line package intact. I thought they got some really good stuff from Kennard across all of the different stuff they asked him to do in 2025. I think that's a pretty good signing. Packers also bringing back Nick Nieman, their special teams ace. Just as long as he's not asked to cover Colston Loveland a playoff game in the red zone, I think they'll be okay there. Good to have a regular special teams contributor back in the fold. And also the Packers re-signing Chris Brooks. Very solid move. Got to think that's their running back three, most likely continuing to be. I do think they will continue to look at running backs both in free agency and in the draft. Who knows about Marshawn Lloyd? That's definitely a bit of a wild card, a bit of a lottery ticket, if you will. The Packers also restructuring Aaron Banks' contract over the weekend, creating a little cap space there, but certainly indicating that they plan to keep him around for at least one more year, if not two. Interesting to see how this offensive line will shake out. We know most likely Jordan Morgan is going to be your left tackle, but then, yes, Banks there at left guard, re-signing Sean Ryan to be your starting center. Anthony Belton most likely to be your starter at right guard, though I think there'll probably be competition there. And then hopefully Zach Tom back from injury going to be your right tackle, which all sounds well and good, but man, I tell you what, Jordan Morgan being the only real difference when it comes to what they're putting out up front for a line that played about as poorly as we've seen any line play in Green Bay in over a decade, you're counting on a lot of develop when it comes to draft and develop. Now, Jordan Morgan, like I said, could be a pretty significant difference maker there. And obviously, hopefully you get Zach Tom healthy for the balance of the season. That should make a monster difference, but Belton certainly has a lot of work to do as a pass protector. Sean Ryan gives you stability, but I don't think anybody would confuse him for a top flight center in the league, though he does do good work in the run game. A lot of work to do in pass protection there as well. And then we all saw the struggles that Aaron Banks had throughout the season, though he did play better. I mean, that's doing a lot of work, but better over the course of the second half of the season. Got to think the Packers have a lot of work to do there up front when it comes to what they're asking these guys to do and hopefully getting a much more cohesive performance up front in front of Jordan Love. And speaking of Jordan Love, with the release of Elgton Jenkins, Jordan Love now becomes the longest tenured Packer on the roster. Man, the NFL, the National Football League, not for long, indeed. Pretty crazy. Hope you're all doing well. Good to see everybody chiming in. Lots of everybody talking about everything I just talked about. Good to see everyone chiming in. Before I get to your questions, comments, concerns, what have you, you guys know I got to give a shout out to our friends over at ThetaCare. When it comes to football, it's all about action, and sometimes injuries happen. Whether it's a sprain, strain, or something more serious, ThetaCare Orthopedic Care is here to help you recover like a pro. Their team offers expert care for bones, joints, and muscles, so you can get back to doing what you love on the field or in the stands. Don't let pain sideline you. ThetaCare, proud sponsor of Cheesehead TV. All right, folks, have at it. What's going on? How are we doing? Danny, thank you so much for being a Care of the G Club member. Appreciate you, man. So far, nothing massively surprising. Time for incessant complaining about everything except what matters. Wake me up in August. See you tomorrow, Lieutenant Dan. Dan, I can't wait to hear your complaints on the old happy hour. Always a welcome diversion from everything going on in my world. Always good to hear from you, Dan. Hope you're well, man. Pack Daddy, yes, you are 1 billion percent correct. Edge rusher no longer a, quote, sneaky need. You ain't lying. One other development that I forgot to mention there at the start is Kingsley Enagbare signing with the Jets on a one-year, $10 million deal. I do have to admit, I am very surprised at that signing slash development, only because I thought Enagbare would sign something a bit more significant in free agency. Settling for a one-year, $10 million deal with the Jets, not on my bingo card, but it probably won't impact what the Packers get compensatory draft pick-wise next season if the market continues to go the way we expected it to. Obviously, with Malik signing his deal, that's one domino fall. Now we just wait for Rashid Walker, Romeo Doubs, and Quay Walker to sign their deals wherever they end up. Now we'll see. Now, it's not automatic, right? But that would be the expectation. But yes, to your point, Pac Daddy, edge rusher, and really the defensive front in general, is going to be fascinating to see how the Packers address it, where they put assets, what they focus on. Got to think defensive tackle and edge are both areas that they have to look at, both here in free agency, but certainly in the draft. No doubt about it. Andrew Ware, how are you, sir? Tons of moves setting up for a big signing. Maybe, but I doubt it. I think the big signing, such as it is, was the trade for Micah Parsons last year, in which now you sit in the window where you can try to take advantage of, I would say, a three-year window with Parsons' contract, which unfortunately year one ended up with him being hurt, and year two will see him miss most likely the first four games. But that's the big signing. I can't believe there's something more earth-shattering than that coming around the bend. Now, are they going to continue to add? Are they going to continue to make moves? Yes, of course. But anyone looking for something akin to Micah Parsons being added to the roster, I think you're setting yourself up for disappointment. But certainly, there are things they can do. Hargraves still sitting out there, Tomlinson, et cetera, at defensive tackle. I do think the draft is the most likely avenue they go down when it comes to bolstering their edge group, but long way to go. Long way to go. Mike Witt, how are you, sir? The longer we wait, I wouldn't mind a one-year flyer deal on Hendrickson. Thoughts, Nags? I wouldn't either, but I think Hendrickson is probably going to sign something much more significant than that. Most likely in Dallas would be my guess to pair with Rashawn Gary. But yeah, I mean, if Hendrickson wants to come chase a ring with the Packers on a one-year deal of some sort, absolutely sign me up. But I don't think that's very realistic. Let's put it that way. But stranger shit has happened, no doubt about it. Patrick, how are you, sir? Agree with Justice. When I saw EJ Elton Jenkins release, thought not necessary just yet. So why? You think a corresponding move somewhere or doing EJ a favor? I think most likely they had exhausted all of the potential trade opportunities. Couldn't find a Jerry Jones to take him off their hands for a fourth round pick in 2027. And yeah, most likely doing him a solid given what he's given to the organization, but potentially, could there be something in the offering here that they're working on? Maybe breaks right now as we're live? Yeah, it's possible. I also think they're giving themselves breathing room and allowing the market to settle a little bit, and then they'll make some moves and probably make a signing or two, as it were, but I just can't see something monster around the corner. Now, hey, I was shocked when the Micah Parsons trade happened. Anything is possible, but I think mostly they are setting themselves up. I have to believe now they're sitting at like it's 33 million cap space, but like 17, 18 effective for the season. So just giving themselves room to breathe and be able to maneuver as they see fit. E4, what's going on, man? All the best to Malik. He was like Zeke Bruckowski was to Star. That's not a terrible comparison. And all the best to Malik. Absolutely hope he balls out for every game next year, except the one in Green Bay. But I do love that John Eric Sullivan, Halfley, etc., didn't wait, didn't play games. They knew they loved Malik, and they went out and got him right away. And it's just funny watching people kind of parse his time in Green Bay. I know Kurt Warner put out a video about how, well, if you break it down, he only played like 16 snaps of actual quarterback. Well, you want to do that with Caleb Williams for a second? I mean, how much more does Ben Johnson need to spam the boot to hide Caleb in his system? You know, like Malik can only do what's asked of him. And he did outstanding work in Green Bay this year, in his last 2 years. I can't wait to watch him ball out in Miami. Very excited. What we got? What's going on, man? How we doing, Nick? Happy with Ryan signing. Full offseason to work at center should yield more consistency. No shock with Gary and Jenkins. Hoping for defensive tackle or cornerback splash in free agency. Go, Pack, go. Yeah, corner is going to be interesting. And now it's funny how it kind of gets put on the back burner of our minds because of the obvious holes and needs up front. But certainly still in the mix as far as guys they'll be looking at, position they'll be looking at, both in free agency and the draft. And you're spot on regarding Ryan. I mean, I have been a bit of a downer on Sean Ryan, no question about it, simply because he was suspect in pass protection for most of his time, either at guard or center. But you're right. Give him a full offseason. Let him get in the program. Let him get that full kind of training offseason program under his belt, especially get to work with those guys in a full kind of classroom and or practice setting throughout the offseason and into training camp. I do think that you'll see better and more consistent play. I very much agree there. But, you know, you're always getting better. You're always getting worse. And they're clearly banking on growth and development there from Sean Ryan. No doubt about it. Patrick, thank you for the super chat. Appreciate it, man. The Packers came off their worst O-line performance in recent memory and decided to swap out their left tackle and run everything else back. I have trepidation. That's what I talked about at the top there. But as we're just talking about, yes, some of it is going to be about developing from within. You are expecting better from Sean Ryan. You are certainly expecting better and development steps forward from Anthony Belton, right? And you do have Zach Tom, who is an all-pro talent. And Jordan Morgan, I would say, was better at left tackle last summer than Rashid Walker was. So hopefully you get improvement there. Definitely need improvement from and more consistency from Aaron Banks. Now, a lot of that needs to gel, and that is a lot of ifs, but that is clearly the idea here. Now, we're not done with free agency. Free agency hasn't even started yet, officially, and the draft is coming, and I do suspect there will be additions to that room in the draft, providing competition. Nothing's done, nothing's set. But yeah, trepidation, I think that is a perfect word. I think that is more than fair. Abdul, what's going on, man? Hey, Aaron, if you trade 52, why didn't they re-sign 55? Most likely they didn't want to pay him $10 million for one season. And maybe they did try to get him back in the fold. Maybe Gannon didn't see him as a fit. There's lots of different possibilities there, but I do suspect they, you know, got what they needed out of their fifth round pick, 4 years in the mix as a rotational guy, and they just didn't see him as a starter and or a significant contributor going forward in Gannon's defense. Didn't want to pay $10 million for 1 year if they were given the opportunity to. I don't even know, but certainly that would indicate that they didn't see him as a priority. Jeff Jones, how are you, man? Draft philosophy this year, best player available? I mean, it is every year, but it's almost always best player available at a position of need, as we always talk about here on Daily. I do think one of the reasons you've seen the moves they've made, you know, whether it is giving Sean Ryan the deal they have, getting Zaire Franklin in the door at linebacker. They're trying to make sure, as they do most seasons, not to, you know, have to reach in the draft, not boxing themselves in for need when it comes to the draft, and being able to hopefully stick to best player available. Now, I think they got some work to do in that regard when it comes to cornerback. They certainly might have some work to do when it comes to defensive tackle, but for the most part, that is hopefully the idea. But eventually, you got to make those picks, and more often than not, yes, you would like the best player available, but more often than not, it is the best player available at a position of need. Andrew, thanks so much again. Not looking for a Parsons, but maybe a Carter. Hey, it's possible. Again, unlikely. Those are some heady waters. Some deep-pocketed teams are undoubtedly sniffing around Jalen Carter. I would just be very surprised if the Packers were able to land him. But they're making calls. Always in the conversation, right? Always a possibility. Oh, who else we got here? We got Soder. What's going on, Eeyore number one? As ineffective as the interior O-line was in 2025, it is a very familiar group going into 2026. Matt LaFleur may want to rethink that heavy inside stuff. That is a component, right? What you're asking the guys to do. Now, maybe they come out of 2025 and think, well, we have to really seriously rethink of how we're approaching the run game, what we're asking these guys to do. But also, again, they are going to count on guys improving. Development there, especially when it comes to Belton. We talk about it all the time. Lots of the kind of jumps you see from guys, talent, consistency, etc., comes in that year one to year two off season. So hopefully for Belton, he hits the ground running and becomes a lot more consistent in that regard. But you're not wrong, man. That is one of the things you have to think they're looking at this off season, as far as what they are asking to do, what they're leaning into situationally. Because look, this is a team that moved the ball quite well. It's top 10 offense, scored points, etc. But man, situational stuff was their kryptonite, right? Whether you're talking about short yardage, whether you're talking about red zone, the situational stuff has to be better. And this has got to be one of the areas that they're looking at, no question. Len Beebe, I was going to text you today, but then, you know, it's crazy busy because it's the first legal tampering day. But I got to tell you, brother, I am down to my last four Carry the G's that you brought from Green Bay last season. And I cannot thank you enough that I have enough Carry the G to last me essentially to free agency. Never happened before. Brother, you are a saint. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Now, on to your super chat. Hey, Nags, D-line's a little thin. I might need the Cheesehead TV draft guide so I know some of the potential targets. Go, Pack, go. Well, lucky for you, the Cheesehead TV draft guide will be available in a few weeks. That's right. I believe first week of April. Don't have an exact date yet, but look for it soon. You'll have an opportunity to get yours on the Cheesehead TV Patreon page. You do not need to be a Patreon member, but that's where you'll be able to download it. Don't worry, Len. We got you. Al and company are working diligently to provide it post-haste. Mike Witt, good to see you again. Good to see you this morning over on Andy's stream. Rick Woolen be a great pickup, and after that, signing a release of 25 would officially make my week. Yeah, Woolen, possibility. I'm not going to say never. I'd be surprised, but possible. As far as Keyshawn Nixon, man, he's cheap labor. He has a dirt cheap contract going into this season. I can't imagine the Packers just outright releasing him. I know Packers fans want him gone, but down in, down out for the money he's about to be paid in 2026, he is an absolute steal and or bargain. With a guy who's started a ton of games for you and played a ton of football for you. Now, I'm not going to say it's like never going to happen and impossible or what have you, but I'm not going to be surprised if he is in Green Bay in 2026 and playing significant snaps for the Packers. Now, hopefully that's in a more limited role, not a significant role, but I understand the Packers keeping him around. He's dirt cheap. Tyler, thanks for the super chat, man. I'm friends with the Chenals and told Leo's sister to tell him to sign with us. Fingers crossed. Hey, it takes all avenues. Multi-pronged approach. We appreciate the work. Big Al, how are you, man? With how free agency is starting, I feel like the Packers might prioritize defensive line in the draft more than cornerback. And who's down for Rasul Douglas being back? Oh, well, man, the Rasul thing sailed. I love Rasul, appreciate everything he did in a Packers uniform, but I'd be absolutely shocked if they brought him back. As far as your other point, yes, I believe defensive line is clearly, whether you're talking about interior or along the edge, clearly going to be a significant focus in this draft. It absolutely has to be. But I also think, yeah, there's still opportunities there in free agency, which hasn't even officially started yet, but certainly going to be the position to watch. Braden, decent question. Totally understand it. Do you have confidence in Lucas Van Ness going into 2026? Do I have a choice? He's going to get significant minutes. He did look good prior to the injury, which absolutely sucked last season, literally getting injured on his first sack of the season. And then when he did come back, I think he lasted 6 snaps until he had to get shelved again. And then finally got back out there in the last couple games of the year, and I thought he looked good. But, you know, that's a lot of hopefullys. You know, hopefully he does bounce back from that injury and looks as good, if not better, and continues to improve. But there's a lot of hope when it comes to Lucas Van Ness. Not a whole lot of solid evidence and tape to back up that hope, right? Like I said, I thought he was playing well, but he is going to be counted on to play a lot in 2026, especially prior to Micah Parsons coming back. I have to think Parsons is going to miss at least the first 4 games, most likely starts the season on PUP. Yeah, man, I don't know what choice you have. You have to have confidence in LVN because he is going to play and play a lot. Hopefully he makes the most of it. Soder, I love it. Screw defense. We need more offense in 2026. Throw the damn ball. See, everyone says that until, you know, Love's taking the snap and Anthony Belton lets instant pressure happen. And now he's running for his life. And now it's 2nd and 10 because Jordan Love had to throw it away. I hear you, man. I love this idea. They have got to be better up front for that to happen, for that to become a reality. One of the reasons Matt leaned into the run as much as he did last year is most likely, and this is just guesswork, I haven't talked to him about this, but most likely because he knew they couldn't hold up front. He didn't want to start way behind the sticks. So I'm all for this plan, but they got to be more consistent up front. What else we got here, folks? Keeping whoever plays offensive line stay healthy and develop continuity. Well, that is a monster component, right? Whatever happens up front this year, you have to hope they get more kind of time together on the field because so much of last year was a clown car, right? Guys in and out, not just from week to week, but in game. They have got to be more kind of cohesive up front. Hopefully they are, due to the fact that you got to think the injury bug slides back in their favor just a little bit. No one ever expects them to be totally healthy throughout the year. That's not the reality in the NFL. But man, they were juggling a lot up front when it came to injury last season. No question about it. Oh, what else we got here, folks? New York Cheesehead. I'm so confused. Run the damn ball. Throw the damn ball. I'm so confused. Whatever works, brother, whatever works. And yes, I know, Soder and I both have been card-carrying members of Run the Damn Ball. But now Jordan Love is Jordan Love, the height of his powers, entering his prime. Throw the damn ball. Why run when you can win? We're full circle now. That's where we're at. Yeah, Mark, you're probably not wrong, man. Stop moving guys around. Damn, let them settle into one spot. That's the problem. Certainly after last year, there's evidence to support that, right? No question. That said, if there is a group and a staff and a program that has shown that they can move guys around, it's certainly in Green Bay, right? They've had success moving guys, cross-training guys up until this past season where it became a pretty significant issue. But until this season, they've been pretty good at it, even despite outside misgivings, of which, you know, I've been a part of that. I was not a fan of how much they moved guys around in the past, but they've been good at it, and they have gotten results. But yeah, last year, tough one. very, very tough. All right, everybody, I got to get going. Cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Please do me a favor and hit like on the video, subscribe to the channel, and then tell your friends and tell your family, Cheesehead TV. We are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. If there are any big breaking stories, news, headlines, whatever, tonight, I will most likely hop back on. I'm going to be here manning the station, as it were, throughout the evening. Otherwise, I'll see you guys tomorrow. Thanks so much. Have a great night. And go Pack, go.